Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm very happy to be speaking with Margaret Becott and Patricia Rossi, both captains of the buses going down to the March for Life from Norwich. How many years have you ladies been taking the bus down to the March for Life?
Well, it started in 1974, a year after the infamous Supreme Court ruling that abortion could be performed in the United States from the moment of fertilization until 9 months later when the cord is cut. And that was a devastating decision. It was horrible. And Darlene Wagner, she organized the first bus. I really didn't get too much involved in it. I went, I think, once with her. But in 1980, I took it over from Darlene. And then I believe it was in the 1990s that Margaret...
I started because Patricia had an injury and called me and said, I need your help. Can you help me go to Washington, D.C. and run three buses?
So that was 1998. So,
was it? It was about 10 years ago, about 10 years ago. Yep.
The interesting thing is she was going to, I had asked her to be a bus captain because I was taking two buses at the time and didn't realize a third bus was going to be put on. And then I broke my elbow. And Margaret had been on a trip, but never on a bus. Mm-hmm. And not only was this her first year going as a bus captain, she found herself coordinating not two buses, but three buses. And she did a fantastic
job. She did, because that was the first year I ever went.
Yes. Yes, and I was frantically trying to coordinate things from Rhode Island, where I was staying with my broken elbow. And but
nobody would have known that anything was in such a turmoil that year, because it all worked out well.
Mm-hmm. So how many buses do you generally have going down from Norwich? Do you say three?
It started out with we would be thankful if we filled one. And then the Diocese of Norwich got involved, thank you, God. And so it was advertised more. And because of students coming, we were able to fill two buses. And it grew. There's more and more students coming. And so then sometimes we have three buses. So we never quite know.
Right.
So it's the past few years, it's generally been three buses. So we've slowly grown from one to three.
So we'll get to, you know, the main reason why we're going down there, but could you give us a little idea of what entails to go down from Norwich on the bus for the March for Life? When does it start?
Well, we plan to be in Washington, D.C. for January 23rd, which is the anniversary.
22nd.
I'm sorry. It's my brother's birthday, the 23rd. I get them mixed up. But on the 22nd, we spend the day in D.C., which we can get to that afterwards of what we go for. But so we leave the night before, and we leave the Norwich area around 9 p.m. and pick up a lot of people in Norwich, and then we travel all the way down to D.C., and we pick up at a few other stops along 95.
Mm-hmm. In Connecticut.
And then we travel, and the reason we leave at night is so that people can sleep on the bus, which is not real comfortable, but that way people can make the trip and only have to take one day off of work.
Right.
And so we travel during the night and sleep on the bus and get up. We usually hit Washington around 4 or 5 a.m., and I'm waking everybody up. And then we spend the day in Washington, and then we head back that afternoon around 4:30-ish and come back to Norwich around 1 a.m. So that way people only have to take one day off work, and they can actually attend the March for Life.
Yeah. And it's such a great event, I have to say. I kind of went not knowing anything about what it was going to be like, but I was just so amazed at what a wonderful event it really is. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit, what is the day, you know, what does the day entail? What do you do, actually, in Washington, D.C.?
Well, the first stop for everybody is the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, which is a beautiful shrine. And most people, if not all people, start the day with a mass there. And there's many masses. There's the main mass, the Rite to Life mass, up on in the main church. And then downstairs in the crypt, and when you go down to the crypt, you have to be careful because they've had a vigil all night long. And so people are down there sleeping in sleeping blankets. And
wall-to-wall people.
Wall-to-wall. Mm-hmm. And you can check, like, Margaret always looks for a Latin Mass. Mm-hmm. The Franciscan friars have a Mass there. And other states, they bring priests that have Masses down there. So you can...
There's a bunch of side chapels.
Yes.
There's several. And
right.
So there's... You can find a Mass no matter what time.
Right. Yeah.
And then from there, people can go at their own pace as to when they want to leave the shrine and go down to the center of D.C. We only say to people, you know, you can stay with the bus captain, or if you go, please go in groups, you know, together. And generally, Margaret and I bring our groups to the hotel, which is the headquarters for the March for Life. Some people go to the Capitol buildings, and some go to other Right to Life rallies mm-hmm. that are held. The sad situation in Connecticut is that this state always votes in pro-abortion senators and congressmen. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they're not fair. They don't treat us all as equal constituents. They do not like to meet with us. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time since a congressman or a senator has met with us. And I say shame on them, mm-hmm. because we are also their constituents, and they don't do that. They'll send an aide, but aides don't vote.
Right.
So anyway, some people still go to the Capitol building.
It's nice to show up in numbers, just to let them know, you know, that we're out here, we're not going away, and it's just to let them know.
To know. And so some people go to the offices and sign the book, and they mm-hmm. usually put a message that they're a Right to Life constituent. But at the hotel, they have different speakers, and they have vendors with a lot of Right to Life paraphernalia and literature. And then from there, I'll let Margaret take over from there as far as mm-hmm. explaining.
Then we all gather wherever the rally is going to take place. And Nellie Gray, who is the president of the March for Life, and has been since 1974.
Wow.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She heads up the whole rally. And that's around lunchtime, so we eat our lunch while we're standing there for the rally. We try not to take time during the day to stop to do much eating. There's too many other things, exciting things to do. So, but they have the rally and get everybody hyped up, and it's just really nice to hear all the speakers and all the congressmen and senators that are pro-life to come up and talk. And then once the rally is over, then we all start heading up Constitution Ave up to the Supreme Court building. And last year it was pretty impressive because a lot of the women from Silent No More were there standing out in front of the Supreme Court building. And it was just very nice for us to all combine and all be one.
Mm. It's amazing. It just takes your breath away when you see how many people are there.
Yeah. Mm.
And I remember the first year that I went, I took my son, and it seemed like there weren't that many young people. There weren't many kids there. But the last couple of years we've gone, and the majority of people are kids.
Yes.
Majority of people are
it's
young,
really grown.
High school,
mm-hmm.
college student, college-age people.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's amazing how many people go to this, you know, and you have to go to see.
Yeah, we even noticed a difference on our buses, that there's a lot more younger people than it was just 10 years ago of having an interest to go.
Yeah.
On those three buses, when it's three buses, bus one is generally basically all adults, and bus two is a mixed bag of youth groups and some adults and small schools, and then bus three is the one that's generally the two major Catholic high schools fill up that third bus. So so it's really more, like Margaret said, more young people now than adults.
Yeah, but there are many, you know, I mean, all age groups go to the march, and I was struck last year, there was a fellow walking next to us who, you know, he was on crutches, you know, and then there was another older gentleman who was, you know, pushing his,
the walker.
You know, just, and people in wheelchairs. I mean, people, there's no excuse for not going to the March for Life, because it's a sacrifice, but it's...
What you get out of it is so much better.
And you can't really explain it either.
You can't. Whenever we start on a new trip and I'm with my bus, the people that are on my bus that I'm captain for, I always try to make them feel very comfortable, the new people that is their first trip. Number one, we don't just let you loose in D.C. and you wonder what on earth you're supposed to do. We have an itinerary with a map. Phone numbers in case something happens, in case you do get misplaced somehow. But the one thing that everybody notices is DC turns pro-life that day. And pro-life people are the nicest people, more helpful and more gracious. And as you're walking through the streets, I don't care where you are that day, you'll get help. If you have a baby carriage, they'll help you lug your baby carriage down the stairs or wherever you need to, into the subways and everything. And it's just so great to see the peaceful people that are there. Yeah. And I really try to stress that there's no concern of any violence or anything. It's the most peaceful place you'll ever be. You won't realize you're in D.C. that day, because it's a change. That whole day has changed, and it's all pro-life people there.
Yeah, because I know people that were, you know, leery of sending their, you know, going with the family or going with kids, and it's like, no, absolutely, this is a family event. Anybody can go. Yeah. And you mentioned the helpfulness. I have a friend whose daughter just came in from Colorado recently, and she brought her 2-year-old daughter, and she was getting off the airplane with all of her luggage and everything. She said nobody would help her. And I said, that is so strange, because I remember taking my son to Washington, D.C., having the stroller, and we only had escalators going down to the metro, and, you know, you can't take an escalator with a stroller. You wouldn't believe the people falling all over themselves trying to help me get down the escalator. And so you're absolutely right. People are just so friendly, and everybody's so full of life, and they're just so happy. And even though it's marking a very solemn occasion, there's so much hope, you know, for the future, especially when you see all the young people there that are pro-life.
I'm going to interject something here and backtrack a little bit, because I wanted to share this with you. When you were talking about people making sacrifices to go, a number of years ago, a bus captain from another part of Connecticut, he had his list of passengers, more than one page, and he had a paperclip, I mean a staple. Well, in the dock, you know, because you leave at night, he thought a name of a gentleman was checked off, and it was really the staple. So he left without him, and the gentleman arrived maybe 3 minutes after the bus, and he tried to catch the bus, you know, but he just never could catch up to the bus. So he went to the train station, got a train to New York, got a cab to the airport, got a plane, a flight to D.C., got to D.C. and a cab to the march. And the funny thing is, I was walking with a bus captain, And, of course, by this time he knew he had left somebody behind. And he was going, oh, my goodness, I don't know how I did that. That paper, the staple, and I wonder, you know, what happened to him. And just then we looked up, and there he is. And all those people.
He found us.
But that's what he went through to get to the march.
Wow.
He did all that. And it's a story I'll never forget.
So
and he still loved Jim, the bus captain.
He left
still,
him.
He still did.
That's the other thing. I mean, it is meant to be a day of sacrifice, you know. So if you don't eat, then you don't eat. But if you don't sleep, you don't sleep. But like you say, the rewards that you get are just so immense, just from the camaraderie, just the uplifting event. But the other thing you mentioned was how organized it is. You know, especially I know you two. You feel very comfortable, you know, even if you've never gone before, to be able to know what to do and know that you're going to get the bus on the way home, you know, where to go. You give it the map. So even if you do, you know, feel comfortable going off and say the Verizon Center has a big, huge youth rally in the morning, you know, there's so many things that you can participate in, but you give us a map, you know, tell us when we're supposed to be, you know, where we're supposed the bus, and it is very well organized, I have to say.
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to Margaret, because before Margaret got on board, I'd have a map for them, but it'd be the one that March for Life would send me. But Margaret has a background in design, and she also knows how to read a map, which I don't know how to do. So Father Tito, who always goes with us, God bless Father Tito, he'd take the section of the he'd take the map that we got originally, I think, from March for Life, and he would print it in color, copy it, and Margaret would put bubbles and the numbers so that you could look at your itinerary and say, okay, you want to go here, and there's the bubble. That's all thanks to Margaret, because if it was left to me, it's which way the wind is blowing type thing. I wouldn't